Chapter 19, The Valley of Shadows. You may have seen copies of the great picture painted by Doré, The Vale of Tears. You remember how Christ stands at the head of a deep, shut-in valley that is dark and full of all kinds of human suffering. Oh, no, it is not a pleasant picture to look upon if you look only at the darkness of the valley. But when you realize that these lame, sick, weary, dying people are there to be healed by the one who stands at the head of the deep valley with all the light of the picture shining on him, then it all has a new meaning to you. It means the redemption of the whole world. The heroes of battle lay down their swords, conquerors bend the knee in humble submission, and kings cast their crowns before him who is King of kings and Lord of lords. Can it be that Jesus saw in his mind's eye some such picture as that of Doré's when he said to us, to you and to me, "Ye are the light of the world"? That means to us that we are to bring sunshine where there is gloom. To do this, you must plan for it. Deliberately plan, today, to make those you meet in the house, in school, store, shop, better and happier. Young folks seldom wear the heart out on the sleeve, especially if it is a sad one and full of trouble. No one needs to tell you how to bring sunshine to such hearts. You know how it is done. When Jesus looked at the sad sights in this valley of shadows, the very saddest of them all, to him, was the death of his friend, relative, forerunner, John the Baptist. You remember what a fearless hero John the Baptist was at the time he preached in the wilderness of Judea. You remember how he cried out to the multitudes that came to him, "Repent ye, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You know how he tried to make the Jewish nation see that the one condition of deliverance was a sincere repentance for sin, that the deliverance which was needed was spiritual, but the people wanted the outward deliverance from the Roman yoke of government and gave no heed to their spiritual bondage. All his life, John had been a hero. He hated sin with an unmeasured hatred. He could not compromise with evil. Do you remember the story told in your history about Latimer's sermon before the king and his apology to Henry VIII? Henry VIII really admired Latimer for his honest speech against evil. John the Baptist gave as just a rebuke to King Herod as the one given by Latimer to his king. But Herod was angry and put John in prison. You know the character of King Herod the Great, who massacred the children at Bethlehem. You have not forgotten that he was as wicked could be, and when some of the sons of his 10 wives were on their way to bury their father, they had a quarrel. One of these sons, Herod the Tetrarch, was called Herod Antipas, and he began to rule over Galilee and Perea after his father died. He was ruler for 35 years and was the Herod to whom Pilate sent Jesus during his trial. Herod was low, weak, and treacherous. When we think what his father was, could we expect anything different? He married the daughter of the Arabian king, Aretas. He built a city for his political capital on the west shore of the Sea of Galilee and called it Tiberias. The palaces were of marble and carved woods. The streets were planted with beautiful trees. There were many houses built by the king, but no one would come and live in them. The place had once been a burial place for the dead, and the rabbis called the place unclean and washed their hands if they had to pass through even the farthermost outskirts. One time Herod went to Rome to visit his half-brother, Herod Philip. The wife of this half-brother was Herodias, a woman strong-willed, low, and vicious. Herod Antipas fell in love with her, sent his own wife back to her father, King Aretas, and took his brother Philip's wife back with him to Tiberias. Herodias was willing to go back and took her daughter Salome with her. Of course, King Aretas resented the way Herod had treated his daughter and so made war on Herod. Herod was afraid of his life and fled from Tiberias to a place in Perea, east of the Dead Sea, and took up his abode in a strong castle that had a prison and dungeon beneath it. The castle was called Machaerus, the Black Fortress. Now, this was the prison where Herod put John the Baptist, because he told the king what a wicked thing he had done to send away his own wife and take Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Would you have dared to tell the king that he had done wrong? Yes, if you hate sin as John hated it. One time at this castle, Herod had a great birthday feast. When the lords and high captains had drunk wine and feasted until they were more like beasts than like human creatures, the daughter of Herodias, the degraded Salome, came and danced before the company. She so pleased the drunken Herod that he promised her whatsoever she should ask. Instructed by her wicked mother, she asked for the head of John the Baptist to be brought to the company at the dining table on a great meat platter. It was done as Herodias planned. She had her revenge on John the Baptist because he said that she and Herod had committed a great sin. The disciples of John, when they heard of it, came and reverently buried the body of John and did what all Christian souls have done from that time to this, went and told Jesus. Before the death of John, the days had been full of work and weariness, but also full of helpfulness and sunshine wherever Jesus had been. Whatever heartache came to Jesus, he silently bore his burden. Others never knew of his weariness or pain. They came to him for help, and help was cheerfully given. He loved John the Baptist, and see how he went on with his work. In the Gospels, there are 67 reports of miracles performed by Jesus. Some of these are repeated in more than one Gospel, but there are 36 different ones mentioned, and there were many performed which were not recorded at all. And now, when his own heart was full of sorrow, he did more for others than even he had done before. There was a certain centurion whose servant was sick with the palsy and but just alive. This Roman centurion sent some of the elders of the Jews to Jesus, begging him to come and heal his servant who was very dear to him. These elders of the Jews told Jesus what a good man this Roman soldier was. There may have been some fine synagogues in Capernaum, but this Roman had, at his own expense, built the synagogue of the city. And the elders appealed to Jesus to go and heal the friend and servant of this good soldier. Jesus started off at once with the elders. They had not gone far when they met men coming to tell Jesus that the centurion did not feel worthy to have so good a man as Jesus come under his roof. "But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed." This captain of 100 men knew what it was to be obeyed. He also, with his company, helped to make up a Roman legion, so he knew how to obey as well as to be obeyed. Because of this discipline and knowledge in his own life, he understood how Jesus had power over the unseen, such as evil, sin, disease, or death. Jesus wondered how this man had gained such faith in him and his power. He said that he had never found such faith in all Israel. Jesus was glad for the man that he had such faith, and when the friends returned to the home of the officer, they found the servant healed who had been sick. One Sunday, Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum, and when he was teaching, a man with an unclean spirit cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus told the evil spirit to come out of the man, and it obeyed. When Jesus was through the teaching of the synagogue, he went with Andrew, James, and John home with Peter. The dear elderly house mother, the mother of Peter's wife, was sick with a fever. Luke, who was a physician, calls it a great fever. Luke says that when Jesus came into the home of Peter and saw the sick woman, he spoke to the sickness as though it were an evil thing and commanded it to go away. The fever left her, and she was able at once to take up her household cares. Not only Luke tells of this miracle, but Mark and Matthew also mention it. And after the Sabbath was past and the sun was setting, all the city was gathered together at the door. Some came to get help for themselves, some to bring friends, And Jesus cast out devils, healed the sick, laid his hands on them, and as Isaiah the prophet said, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He took up and bare as a burden their weaknesses, infirmities, and diseases. Is it any wonder he was weary? And did you ever think that in helping and comforting others, he helped and comforted his own aching heart? That he, in this way, showed the world a new balm of Gilead? It is marvelous what a panacea for sorrow Jesus found for his disciples when he put his own sorrows out of sight and helped other troubled souls.